Whatever you were doing before you came to Christ, stop doing that and live the right life, empowered by the presence of God in your life. That is your sanctification. That's how you live the life.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, March 12th, 2023. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled Confessing Sin. And our text comes to us from 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
So, we've been looking at some of the primary texts of the Bible, texts from the Bible that mean a lot to God's people for obvious reasons. And so today, I alluded to it last week of sorts. I want us to go to 1 John chapter 1, because this is a text that needs to be understood well. Hopefully, we'll give it a good shot this morning. And we'll talk about what to do with our sins. Maybe I should start by asking a direct question. How many sinners do we have here? Some of you are not that much, huh? So, the Bible says we're all sinners. We're all sinners. And yet we say that Christ died for our sins. But what do we do with the issues that come up regularly in our lives? Apparently, we gave our hearts to Christ, but we still sin. So this is why John was written. First John was written. Well, for many other reasons, but John wants to make sure that you and I understand how this whole thing works. He's writing to Christians now in the third generation. This was, years have gone by, and the first generation of Christians, the second, third generation, and they were kind of watering down the gospel, and they were kind of getting comfortable in their own lives, and persecution was not as egregious as it was, and so they kind of like were making up their own way of thinking and serving God and even denying God and really denying the doctrine of the apostles. And so different sects began to develop, and especially the Gnostics were there, and they had weird ideas. And so anyway, so John writes, and let's go ahead and read 1 John 1, 6 through 10. If we claim to have fellowship with him, meaning Christ, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. And verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and we want the Lord to speak to us this morning. Amen?
Amen,
amen. Lord. Speak to us directly, individually. Well, there were people in the church in those days that rejected the truth about their sin life. Actually, they rejected a lot of things about the Word of God. And so John writes and brings different categories of deniers, of provokers, of troublemakers. And he says that there's a whole bunch of people today that live in darkness. They're people who live in darkness. Verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. So this is the group of people that ignore their sins as if it was not real in their lives. They have claimed to have fellowship with God and share some aspects of the faith, saying they have eternal life. They're supposedly Christians. But their claims are meaningless if you continue to walk in darkness. And walking, as we will find out, speaks of a matter of living, is the way you conduct yourself. And the way in which you conduct yourself is how salvation is manifested. Because you can talk a good talk, but if you walk it crooked, you're crooked. So John is absolutely certain on this, that a profession of faith does not mean anything unless you live out that profession. Because living out that profession means that you are who you say you are. To profess one thing and live in contradiction of the same is not to practice the truth. As simple as that. Jesus spoke to his country people, and specifically to the Jews, and said something like this: the eye is the lamp of the body, so if your ear is clear, eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? So there's the whole concept here that humanity prefers to live in darkness. They really do. But anybody who claims to be a Christian cannot live in darkness. Cannot. No, because believers possess the life of God. And they're actually creations in Christ made for good works, not bad works. So one of the proofs that you and I are saved is that we do good works. And we shun the evil. We prefer to do good rather than bad. So John says there's people who, you know, they live in darkness. Then he says there are people that are in deception. 1:8 says, if we say we have not sinned, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. This second group of people claimed they had no sin. Imagine that. And if the first group was bad, this is worse. I mean, the first category ignore their sin, you know. And it's amazing how this happens in the world today. In Jeremiah 17:9 is something you should read in your spare time, when it speaks directly as to how it can be entrenched in your life in such a way that you're not living correctly before the eyes of God and you just shoot yourself. The reason they said they have no sin is because they have reached a spiritual level that is beyond anything you can think. They say, God has done such a work in my life that I no longer sin. I know. You think they don't exist, but I've met several. That one of them in particular said, I've not sinned in the last 7 years. It's an error. Because it's a complete misunderstanding of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's a complete misunderstanding. You need to understand that the sin in your life has been redeemed, but it must be confessed so that God can work in your walk with him. We'll talk more about it. Jesus was the only one who could claim not to have sin. The only one. And everybody else is a sinner. And yet we're sinners saved by grace. And one day we will no longer sin, but we're going to be in the Lord's presence. We will be glorified in the heavens. And that's when it will be over and done with. See, when a believer is born, you come to Christ. The scripture says that you have been made holy without blemish, without any problems. You have been given the holiness of Christ has been attributed to you. That's what's called positional sanctification, because of the position that Christ has. But then there's another thing called progressive sanctification, which is what you and I endure in this world. The job is being done by the Lord, yet we're still in this world, and we still have a body, and we still have a carnal nature that, well, I wish we could cast it out, but if we try to cast out your carnal nature, you'll wind up at Rose Hills, you know. It's, you can't get rid of it. It's part of you. So what you and I need to understand is that we have this ability to come before the Lord and for us to surrender our sins to Him as we continue to develop in His presence. That's progressive sanctification. Sin in itself has been taken care of, because you know that the moment that Christ died on the cross, the penalty of sin was taken care of. Your sin and my sin, we deserve the end of our lives in far away from God. We will be condemned forever in eternity. But there's this Christ who comes and saves us by dying on the cross. The penalty of sin was taken care of by Christ. The power of sin is also trying to maneuver us, but the power of sin has been dealt with Christ. Christ said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. There is a power that resides in you that you can resist temptation. You can resist temptation. One of these days, we're going to be delivered from the presence of sin, but that's going to be in the presence of the Lord. So we have this groups of people. The third group of people that we see in this is in the scripture is in John 1:10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. That's when we're defaming God. Because you see, you and I cannot say that all the teachings of God's word is wrong. Because by you saying, I have not sinned, I don't have any sins, and we're saying that everything the Bible says is wrong. So you are actually denying the teaching of God's word that says that we are sinners. And secondly, when you say, I have no sin, you deny the need for a Savior. So you see, this text tells us all kinds of things. Categories of false claims to fellowship. I'm your brother, I'm your sister, and yet you live in sin, and you are not walking in light as you should walk in light. Okay, but let me move on. In verse 7, 9, and 2 and 1 says, but if we walk in the light, as he himself is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. So repentance brings us to Christ, and it leads us into salvation. But there is an essential element in the life of the believer called sanctification. I mentioned this already. The importance of bringing ourselves before God and being tested by Him. Because genuine salvation is related to repentance, a belief in God that forgives our sin. And there's a regular practice of confessing our sins, instruction that suggests different elements of our life in this world. You and I are saved by grace, and we're instantly forgiven for all our sins. But there's application of that salvation that gets us into trouble. It's how I live every day with the knowledge that Christ has forgiven me. Is how I apply the forgiveness of Christ to my life, and I find myself wanting. Because as we said, there are three different ways in which you can say or talk or address your sins. You can say, no, I don't have any sins, and then you're defaming God. And if you say to yourself in your own heart, no, you know what? I'm fine. You know, it's okay. I've grown so much at Beverly Boulevard that I no longer sin. And others would say something like, well, I kind of like living darkness, but leave me alone. You got to deal with your sins. You got to deal with your walk with the Lord. And so, again, the scripture in 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Again, walking is the way of life. Walking, used in the New Testament, specifically describes sanctification, describes the way I behave, the way I conduct myself, the way I deal with issues around me. So if I walk in the light, if I'm walking in the light, I'm beginning to understand myself, and I can understand God working in my life as well. And all of a sudden, I begin to discover in my own heart issues. Issues that before did not bother me, but now they bother me. All of a sudden, there is a level of consciousness as to what is right and what is wrong, because we're walking in the light, and the light shines upon you and upon me, and oh, lo and behold, things are not right. I still have issues to deal with. You are already saved, but you're dealing with sanctification. You're dealing with the application of that salvation in your daily life, where you're supposed to be tuned in. Some people say, well, we need a tune-up. Some of you need an overhaul, but that's okay. We need to come to that place where the Lord deals with us specifically and addresses the issues of our life. When we are saved, all of our sins were accredited to Christ on the cross. But the change of behavior, the change of applying that salvation that he has given us is daily, daily walking with the Lord and addressing those issues that so easily can trip us up. So when we say, hey, you know, I'm not perfect, God's not done with me yet, it's true and not true. It's true because, yeah, you're still not the way you ought to be, but at the same time, the Lord has done all the work he's going to do. Now it's up to you to apply it to your own life. So that's why Paul says, if you used to be a thief and a robber, stop doing that. You know, whatever you were doing before you came to Christ, stop doing that and live the right life, empowered by the presence of God in your life. That is your sanctification. That's how you live the life. And, you know, those of us who walk in the light, we do so because we are new creatures to begin with. Because we have been regenerated. We have been made new. Because we have standing with the Lord. All things have become new. Everything. And the power of God is upon you and upon me because he's given us a new center. Christ is the center. I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And there are issues in my life. But those issues in my life, I face with Jesus. I bring them to the throne of grace. I come and I say, Lord, I'm walking in the light as much as I know how to. But as I walk believing and trusting you and not denying all the issues in my life, I begin to see that I need help. And this is where the help comes in. And I want you to know the best help you and I can have in dealing with our issues is to come to church and be with the communion of the brothers and the sisters. Some people say, I'd like to go to church if it wasn't for the people. You know? But it is the thing you need. Because in other people, you see yourself. And some people run away because they don't want to see themselves. Of course, others, I better not go there. I better not go there. I had a thought, but I should just leave that thought alone because we have this idea about ourselves that we're so neat and so good and so perfect, and yet when we look, just we take a glance. Whew. That's why we need communion. We walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The coming together sheds light on our lives. It helps us to become better. Not bitter, but better. Every Christian, their sins have been forgiven. And there's not a single sin you have committed, you are committing, or will commit, that the Lord has not forgiven you. That's the good news. Because when Christ died on the cross, he took all your sins, not just a little bit of them. All your sins have been forgiven. The issue with you and with me is that we need to walk in the light to expose those areas that we have control over, in the sense of killing and putting to death those things that we know are wrong in our lives. Now, it doesn't mean you and I are not going to struggle with sin. Of course we will. We'll struggle with it. I will never ask you to raise your hand if you've been struggling with sin, because some of you would lie and would say, no, all of us struggle with sin. Oh, all of us have something to deal with. The besetting sin that appears in Hebrews chapter 11, 12. But I'm telling you, one day we're going to be free. But right now, this moment, we're not going to be totally free from our humanness. We continue to be human. And there's this element that keeps bugging us. That what I want to do, I don't do. And that which I do is not what I want to do. You know, Paul says, I struggle with this. Let me just tell you, everybody struggles. The way to victory is to confess your sins to the Lord. To come up to him and say, Lord, see, that in itself is an act of faith. To say, Lord, I've been struggling with this. I've been struggling with that. And you know, Lord, that I love so-and-so, but I wish that person would be with you so that won't bother me. You know, I'm jesting, of course. But I mean, it's true. It's true. So we will never be totally free in this life from unredeemed humanity of our flesh. We will never be free. But here is the key. When you look at what Christ has done, Christ continually cleanses away every impurity we bring to him. And sin, as a Christian, sin can never change your standing before God. You are as saved as you will ever be. But what about your sanctification? What about your walk with the Lord? How truly committed are you? How much are you walking in the light as he is in the light? How much communion do you have with one another? Because that's your sanctification. That's the practical aspect. But all your sins have been forgiven, and nothing will ever change that standing before God. It speaks about the blood of Christ, right? Nothing can be more dramatic than that. The blood of Christ, a graphic way of presenting the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross for you and for me. And that sacrifice on the cross is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Unalterable. God, hear this one, God is not going to change his mind about you. You have been forever forgiven for eternity. So with that in your hand, you look at your... Iba a decir estupideces, pero no lo puedo decir. You look at the stuff that you do, and it's senseless. It's ridiculous. I mean, come on. Look how much God has done for you. Get rid of it. Come to him and say, Lord, you saved a dumb person here, because I keep making the same mistakes because I don't like her or like him, or I have a grudge or this or whatever it may be. But when you come to Christ and you confess your sins, which we'll talk in just 30 seconds, it begins to change that. You're bringing perfection into your walk with the Lord. I love the fact that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So, every single transgression, past, future, present, does not depend on any condition except the sovereignty of God. And is the sovereignty of grace in response to saving faith. Lord, save my life. And he responds to you with grace. He comes in and saves you completely and utterly to the end of eternity. You know, Paul says clearly, along with John, that the redeemed can enjoy complete, unalterable, and unrepeatable forgiveness. God never, hear me now, God never, hear me, God never stops forgiving you. I told you that, I think it was last week. One of our students at the university went across this 1 John and he discovered that truth and began to weep because he was struggling with issues in his life. Comes from a rough background and it was really, really a mess. And he was fighting his own demons. How many fight demons? Let Jesus fight them for you, will you? But I totally understand those demons. We all have stuff that comes. But he began to weep and to cry when he understood that Jesus was continually forgiving him for his struggle. He knows all about our struggle, huh? He knows all about our disappointments. He knows all about our shortcomings. But he forgives and keeps forgiving and will continue to forgive. He will never repent from forgiving you. So that's why 1:9 is so important. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is actually crucial. That's the word, crucial. Absolutely crucial that when we enter into the light, which means you're being justified, that you walk in the light, which means you're sanctified. That you actually take those steps and you look inside of your life and you discover, and you bring those to the Lord. I like to talk to you about a man who served God. He committed adultery. He murdered. He killed. And yet God looked at him and he said, he is a man after my own heart. Because God looks at you as someone completely redeemed, forgiven. Let's look at it. Psalms 51. Let's see in the screen right now. Psalms 51. This and all the Psalms are filled with confessions, admitting the wrongdoings in your life with the urge of wanting the Lord to cleanse you, to take away that heaviness. If we, again, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purifies or cleanse us. He doesn't come back and pound you. Aha, bandido, sos un pecador. No, he cleanses you. He wipes the slate clean. Have mercy on me, said David, according to the unfailing love, your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions. How many know your transgressions? And my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. Listen, God desires truth. Don't you dare come to God and say, I'm okay, when you know you're not okay. God honors true statements in your prayer life. Listen, when you come clean with God, he cleanses you. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. And verse 12 says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Believers are those who confess their sins, agreeing with God about what God has to say about those sins. And they acknowledge his reality and they affirm it is a transgression of his law, a violation of his will, and truly we come with penitence in his presence. We don't just wash it away. We say, it was no big deal. It's a big deal. So face it as a big deal. If this is wrong, Lord, I seek you to eliminate this from my life because it's a big deal. Every sin is a big deal. When the Lord speaks to you and says, this is wrong, I want this to go, you better move it. Because conviction, by the way, comes from the Holy Spirit. And conviction for the Christian is part of his walk. And when you know you've done something wrong and you have that conviction in your heart, you must come to the Lord and truly repent so that it will be eliminated, taken away from your life. So, John is telling us that those of us who are sincere before the Lord, we will confess our sins regularly. Stated in another word, forgiveness is not because of an ongoing confession. Forgiveness is a pattern of penitence and confession because of their forgiveness, there is transformation. The Lord transforms you because you're asking the Lord to remove that from your life. He continues, the Spirit of God continues to work in you, and it gives you repugnancy, hatred for the sin that you're doing. It causes you to hate sin. That is the work of God in your life. And so you will have a sincere heart before God, and you will say to him, Lord, I've done this wrong. And when you do something wrong and you tell the Lord about it and you acknowledge your sins, there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. I remember, and I've done this several times in funerals for people who were not true. How do I say this? We could not see their faith in the way in which we would like to see it, you know. And nominal Christians, you know, they would come in Easter and they would come in Christmas and they would show signs of, you know, light life, but they were not really committed Christians. And yet, I remember in this particular case, I was asked to come, and he was in the hospital bed. I was with this person, and he says, Pastor, he says, I was not smart. I should have lived the Christian life. I knew this was going to come to me. I knew I was going to die, but I kept putting it off. And here I am now. I'm going to die. I want to repent. I want to repent of all my sins. He says, but I don't remember them. Not all of them. What happens if I forget one? I wanted to say, I told him, listen, no. It's the spirit of confession and not the articulation of confession. It's your heart that says, Lord, forgive me. And he does. Because unconfessed sins are taken care of by the Lord to begin with at the cross. Because this confession that we're talking about in John is not to get you saved, but to live like saved people. In heaven, the Bible tells us there will be no evil thing will come in. So I want you to let you know that Christ completely covers you. Everything's covered. So if today you say, oh Lord, I got some issues in my life. I got so many of them. But Lord, maybe I'm ashamed to bring them all up, but at least I'll bring you a couple. And then you die, you still go to heaven because the Lord's got you covered. We're talking about behaving and walking like Christians. Not buying our way or confessing our way to heaven, but we are confessing our way in witnessing to people about what Christ can do in your life. the finished work of Christ completely covers all the sins of those who believe, even those that you can't remember or the ones you won't confess. The Lord's got you covered. I'm in dangerous ground here because some people will say, did I give my heart to Christ and I can live like the devil and still make it to heaven? No, you got to walk in the light because you must be saved. But I'm not your judge. God's your judge. And you know if you've given your heart to the Lord. And you know if you're living for him. And I will never, ever, ever say this person is not saved. And this one is. Manuel Bonilla, you know Manuel Bonilla, he's a great, great gentleman, singer, tremendous man. He's recovering, he's not been very well physically with Parkinson's. He was able to beat Parkinson's, but he's not well. He's not well. And he used to say in his rallies that when he gets to heaven, he will be very, very, very surprised at the people he'll see there. Because he thought they were not saved. And he's also going to get to heaven. He's going to be very surprised at the people that he thought were saved and are not there. Only God knows what he's doing in your life, and you are responsible before him. And no church or pastor can declare you to be saved. Only Jesus' blood saves you. You believe in the Lord, and you walk with him. And so as you walk with him, you find yourself stumbling. Get on your knees and say, Lord, help me. Paul wrote it. David said it. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the person or the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. And no sin that you and I have committed will be taken into account because we've given our heart to Jesus. So don't let the enemy pound you with yesterday's mistakes. Don't let the enemy tell you that you're not really saved. You're walking in the light. And you walk in the light, being in the Word, having fellowship with the Lord, having fellowship with brothers and sisters, being committed in living one more day for him. And as God speaks to your heart and their issues, don't deny them. Don't put them away. Don't say it's not true. Admit those things that are wrong that the Spirit of the Lord has enlightened you to see. And then say, Lord, forgive me. Give me the grace and the strength to go over this. And he will. Sometimes not too fast, but it goes there. It gets there. It gets you. You must constantly be coming to the Lord for that cleansing, the cleansing of the word, the reading of the word, the cleansing of your heart, the confession of sins, the attitude of committing your life to the Lord. Well, John keeps on saying things, but I wanted you to at least know this much, that every rotten, good-for-nothing sin you've ever committed has been forgiven because Christ died on the cross for you. And you as a Christian, as we struggle with those issues, we bring them to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm still falling here. I'm still short here. And the Lord, as you walk in the light, He will begin to cleanse you. And all of a sudden, those things no longer have a hold on you. And you begin to, you know, clear, pure oxygen. And it's the only way I know how to live the Christian life. Admit my fallings, admit my errors, ask the Lord to forgive me, and do everything I can not to repeat them with His grace and His strength. And if the next day I meto la pata otra vez, Lord, forgive me. Of course He forgives me. And He gives me strength. Because every sin has been covered. But I do need to say this before I finish. And I moved away from my notes, but I have to go back to it. We don't sin because God has forgiven us. Because some people will take God's forgiveness and God's grace as fuel for sinning. Paul says, you're dead to sin. And that's the attitude of the Christian. We're dead to sin, but alive unto the Lord. But we don't want to sin. We must not want to sin. It's there. It's a battle. But when it comes to it, you find yourself that God's grace is there to help you, but you cannot abuse the grace of God. So this is not a message for people to go out there and do whatever they want because all my sins have been forgiven. No, we're walking in the light as He is in the light. And that's how it works. More about that some other time. Lord, I thank You this Sunday morning that we can come to You confessing our sins, Lord. It's not often that we address this section of our lives, but we do so this morning because we just want to say, Lord, we know so little about how much You have done for us. But one thing we do know, that You love us and that You would not in any way, shape, or form put us down for the areas of and mistakes that we make, but that You would pull us up and that You would cause us, Lord, to see better. Again, like the psalmist said, create in me, O Lord, a new heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Lord, there are issues that are going on in our hearts that only You can deal with. And we pray that You would bless and strengthen, that You would and cause us to understand Your love for us. Father, how grateful we are that there's nothing impossible for You to forgive. So we confess our sins to You. And we ask You again, Lord, to create that new heart in our lives and to do a work of mercy in our hearts, that we will not pound ourselves, Lord, that we will not feel so guilty that we no longer are useful in Your kingdom. Give us the ability to surrender to You, to ask for forgiveness, and to live in victory as we walk in the light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amazing love, how can it be? So my King would die for me. I
John goes on to say, chapter 2, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. Well, I sin. But if anybody does sin, I'm going to raise my hand. We have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ. The righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. So if the devil has a beef, Jesus speaks up. If your conscience wants to betray you, Jesus speaks up. He says, I have died for you. Don't worry about it anymore. Live the life that I've given you to live. Amen. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. Amen.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our Facebook page or go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.